Okay, we're on.
All right, call to order, regular meeting of the North End Planning Commission Thursday. It is Thursday, January 9th, 2014. At City Hall. I struggled with that. Welcome to 2014, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. As you know, Bruce has left us, so we are down a member, and Scott and Piper are not going to make it this evening, so... Jim. I'm looking at that chair like, where's the body that should be there? So we're at our quorum. Jam-packed schedule that these guys have planned for us, and that's the main thing for tonight. But first, I'll entertain a motion on the minutes from the October 24th, 2013 meeting. Can you remember that far back?
I don't even know if I was there, was I?
Was it that long ago?
It didn't feel that long ago. But
oh, yeah.
I think staff was pretty ticked off at us last time we were together, and they just kept canceling meetings the rest of the week.
Yeah. There isn't a mention in the minutes about the research.
Can I get a motion?
Yeah, I motioned.
Did you move?
Minutes.
Oh, did we have a second?
No, I didn't hear a second.
Second.
Scott beat you to it. All right. Go ahead.
So, question is that we didn't make reference to the research that the staff was doing, and do we need to just note that in there? Because if we don't get that back, I kind of came to a conclusion doing some research of my own. So if the staff isn't able to complete that, then...
Right. Well, I guess two thoughts I have. I kind of agree with you that, you know, that was a pretty major ask that we made. And so to not be mentioned in the written minutes kind of feels like maybe that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Of course, the full minutes are recorded and on the website, but I'm happy if you want to make that friendly amendment.
So I'd like to make motion to amend item number 6 to indicate in some way that the Public Works is doing additional research to study the impacts of widening streets. At the request of the Planning Commission.
Brendan, you made the motion, so you need to accept the amendment.
I accept the amendment to amend the item 6.
Any further discussion? All in favor of the friendly amendment?
Aye.
All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Aye. Both motions carry. Great. Thanks. Public comment on non-agenda items. Please state your name and address for the record.
Certainly. Travis Bridgman, Bolt, 713 Ogle Avenue, Northeast, Northland, Washington. Thank you for the glad welcoming of this new year. I actually missed you guys. I look forward to the meetings, and they were canceled. And one time it was full of the grandest discussions. There was no meeting, but it was just a cool little off-the-record discussion time. And a bunch of citizens showed up. It was a public meeting. But there was more public here than the board. But it was a good time, too. So it's funny how things work out. I actually got lots of curiosities. And I want to actually respect your agenda very heavily. And I'm not certain if the questions go to the Parks Commission or the Transportation Commission or the Safety Commission. Fortunately, I go to all those meetings, so
put them out there for everybody.
So I'm just curious, there's a big decision right now. It's almost a property owner's position, and it's almost the streets. It's off of the streets, but it's before the property. Like in Silver Creek, it goes the property or the paved road, then gravel, then personal property. And in a lot of areas right now, that gravel area is not being maintained by the property owner or the city. So it's just a very traumatic, almost turbulent. Right off the road's kind of deteriorating, and the gravel, people are taking care of their parking lots, but not the right in the middle. So it's just a curiosity if there's a reporting, or specifically I'm talking about on 8th Street, right in front of the Lutheran Church. They redid the road, they widened it, they made a big, beautiful, like, huge road, And then there's one segment in the middle. Well, in front of the Lutheran church, it's all deteriorated. And you see these nice cars coming through and just bam, bam. I mean, it's got to do something to their morale.
Sounds like a utility easement or something.
Well, you're talking about in the shoulder.
Yeah, basically the shoulder, but the... But the road used to be wider, and then it gets narrow, and right next to that narrow road is all these giants.
Is it close to the... Here's the Lutheran church.
Yeah.
And then there's grass and sidewalk. And then there's parking here to access the church and then an annex or something.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a street down here that has some nicer, newer homes.
Right.
The street is kind of wide, but I don't believe there's a sidewalk.
There isn't a sidewalk
on this side.
There is a little one right here, and then it's a gravel parking lot all the way along
yeah,
to the
I
corner.
Yeah, I think that's road easement, right? But I think that's maintained by the property owner.
It would be,
except...
I think I'll step in there. So instead of solving to the issue, I think we're talking about, I'm hearing, I was a little confused, but I think you're basically talking the break point between the city right-of-way and the lot, right?
Right.
And you're saying, hey, you're seeing something not going on there, right, and would staff look into that?
Correct.
That's kind of what I'm hearing.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Got it.
We could do a couple things. We could forward your kind of information to the Public Works Department. They could go take a look at it. Or if you, since I think that you're over there quite often, if you want to bring it up with them and maybe even show them on the map exactly where you're talking about, that would be the other avenue.
Yeah, it's actually several locations. It's because there's a lot of that type of easement in older developments.
Well, it's definitely a public works type issue that you're raising.
Okay.
And it's not a planning issue. It's a maintenance and public works issue. So I would suggest that's definitely your best out.
You are rocking the clarification today, Rob. Thank you.
You good?
I'm good.
See, new member of the public.
You're
happy? And you wanted to address, you're just here to listen. We just happen to be in public comment on non-agenda items, so if you had anything to address.
These are off-agenda comments?
Off-agenda, and as you begin, if you'd state your name and address for the record.
My name's Jack Harris. I live up here in River Glen. Been here since 95. I got notes in the mail about development within our purview area. And I would like to just kind of exercise my civic
interest.
Sure. It's been hard getting here. You were at the council meeting?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Hi. That's a story.
Thank you.
Well, Jack, was there something that you wanted to bring to the commission's attention?
Oh, well, there's 156 houses going in our backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's just a permit process that is not anywhere near complete or even. So I need to update myself on what is completed and what the status is of those and report not. Just provide that information to the neighbors. And,
We do have the file for that. That's the Sagali Tanger Road development application. And we've got the complete file for that over at our community and economic development office. So if you want to stop by there sometime.
Yeah, I'm a working kind of guy. I get a job. Mm-hmm. So, I'm going to have the 20th off, but you guys probably have the 20th off as well, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll have to take a vacation day. And
if you would like, you can leave a kind of a list of what information you're interested in. We can make copies for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm completely ignorant of the whole process. I want to just address my interests and look at, I don't know what the permits are, what their criteria are, and so it's going to be a steep learning curve.
So just for a very quick background, that's a preliminary plat application, and so that is reviewed by staff. who then makes a recommendation to the hearing examiner. And the planning commission, who's here tonight, is not involved in that process. They said, make recommendations to council on policy that then developments are reviewed against. But the planning commission is not involved in the review of, right, of that application.
But this is a good resource for me. Is
okay.
That
yeah. Yes. But yeah, there will be plenty of opportunity for public comment. There's a comment period open right now. And then there'll be a, the hearing before the hearing examiner that anyone from the public can submit comments on or come and speak to.
I'll sit quietly. And
yeah. So a couple things within what Mike's saying there is definitely the request that you're making to, you know, get copies to better understand. You want to definitely follow through on that and be aware of the public comment period that's open. Mm-hmm. And then be watching the city website and the newspaper for the hearing date, because that's your most formal opportunity to go before the hearing examiner to speak. As he's saying, it won't come to us, it'll go before the hearing examiner.
So yeah, I'll give you my card.
Yeah. I think I talked to Frank, was it, from Public Works?
Yeah.
And he has a lot of stuff that I need to...
he has the materials as well.
Yeah. So I'll just take a vacation day here in the next week or so and do all my, get some traction and see where it can take us. But it's very interesting. It's better than television, really. I enjoyed the council meeting. It was 2 hours. It was better than Mark Povich. So.
Well, it's great, Jack. Well, we'll hope we can be at least partially as entertaining as
you
council.
Are?
I'm Rob McFarlane. I'm the chair of the council.
Rob, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Item number 4, Planning Commission 2014 Work Plan, Comprehensive Plan Update Process.
Before we go into that, I was going to hand around, you had in your packet the last development update report. Tom just recently completed the year-end development report, so you'll probably find that interesting. So just very brief summary, tremendous growth this year, a lot of increase in permits issued and revenue collected from that, including impact fee revenue to the city. So have a look through that. You need this one? Okay. Just wanted to make sure you have the most current version of that.
In a nutshell, how many permitted single-family homes?
I think we've got that here.
Yeah. Oh,
in the
single family, sorry.
123.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. There's the summary table.
And then in the blue is the increases over previous years.
Right.
So we're busy.
Yep. And is there a nutshell number that says how many new units are on the deck for this year?
Yeah, and at the end there.
Future. Okay. 431.
I don't see a overall summary.
Well, I kind of see three quarters of the way down.
Yeah. Future single family residences from plat applications received.
That should probably, that's obviously approximate.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so for our small community, adding 120 some homes is certainly big, and four times that on the docket is. Make an impact.
Mm-hmm.
Really glad to have this report, Mike. Thanks.
Thanks,
yeah,
Tom.
Yeah, Tom does a great job keeping these up to speed all year long. So
yeah.
Whenever, if you're ever interested, we usually have one pretty up to date, so you can ask anytime.
Yeah. Okay. Now, where you want to take us?
Right.
Well, we're all strapped in for
ahead.
The run.
Yeah, we wanted to just brief you guys on the future agenda. We've got a lot of work to come this year. This is the year of our major comprehensive plan update. Actually, the next 2 years. It's the major update's due in June of 2015, but we'll be working throughout this year on the comp plan. And then a few other things that we'll have to throw into that hopper as well. And we wanted to give you today just a very brief overview of the process ahead and the reasons for doing it. Just go through a couple of the things on the future agenda. So just to start out, Megan was going to give us a little bit more of the non-regulatory reasons for doing the comp plan update.
Okay. Before Megan starts, did the other commission?
No,
I mean,
think.
I Do you have a list of...
You should, yeah, the calendar.
The calendar?
Sure, yeah.
I had a cheater copy, so I have a feeling you guys didn't have it.
Watch as we just get to Preston.
So, you know, we Mike's going to
see what they changed since I saw them.
Give one more, please.
So, I think Mike's going to go through the schedule, but what you'll see is it's predominantly related to the comp plan. So, that's why we're going to kind of take a step back and just refresh everybody a little bit of what that is and why. So I think that's where Megan, these two are going to take to that.
Well, I'll just let you guys know I'm sort of new to the table here. I started November 4th, so I apologize if I don't know how much background you guys have, but I'm looking forward to working with y'all this year. I think first thing broadly, we're going to look at with Jillian, what is a comp plan? We're over that, and what does a good comp plan look like? So essentially a comprehensive plan is a long-range guide or roadmap to the future of a community. The plan is based on the analysis of the community, projections of future population and employment growth, community preferences, and the goals and requirements of the Growth Management Act, which Mike will go into more detail on here in a few minutes. But a comprehensive plan typically includes maps showing future land uses, transportation facilities and parks, and it includes policies that address land use, housing, capital facilities, public facilities such as water, sewer, stormwater, utilities, transportation, and the natural environment. And it's just, you know, it's a guiding document. What does a good comp plan look like? Hopefully, by the time our updating of the comp plan happens, it's going to be shiny and pretty and new, and we'll talk about that, what we're going to do to make that happen. But in general, a good comprehensive plan provides guidance for the future based on examining existing and future conditions. The best examples of planning practices from around the United States and a place's best vision for itself is what this document will show. It gives the aspirations of a community substance and form by providing recommendations on how to implement the community's vision. Provides predictability and fairness for citizens, elected officials, city staff, and the development community by providing community with a visionary future land use plan that provides appropriate recommendations for the type, location, and scale of new development for that community for years to come. It helps in many ways by planning and doing other guiding documents for a community to work together effectively and toward a common purpose. It should have a clear and effective method for implementing these comprehensive plans and recommendations. That's just sort of a general overview. And right now we're at the amendment process, of course. So
I'm kind of curious. Meg and I were talking before the meeting, and I really couldn't answer the question, but she asked me how familiar our planning commission was with the comp plan process and just your comp plan in general, the city's comp plan. So kind of curious to get some feedback from you guys as to kind of what you feel. Would you say you're pretty knowledgeable about our comp plan and why we have it and what's in it right now, or would you think, or kind of give me some feedback on that aspect of where you guys are?
So we talked about the flood plan and the transportation plan when we did the amendment. And so I think, at least for myself, I'm very intimate with those two sections of it. Mm-hmm. Land use, I think, is brand new. Okay. There's Section 18, and I don't know what else.
Have any of you taken the short course on local planning? That's offered every year at multiple places throughout the state by Planning Association of Washington. And it's a fantastic kind of 35,000-foot overview of planning, the rationale for planning, and comprehensive planning in particular. So we will watch for when those are held, and we'll make sure to let you know about those opportunities. It's free, so I'd really encourage each of you to take an opportunity for one of the closer locations that's hosted at this year.
Yeah, I know they move them around. I think it's about 5 years ago or so when I went to one there, I believe on Mercer Island, but I know they've done it in Issaquah, Mercer Island, Bellevue, so frequently fairly close to us.
It was to Barney a couple years ago.
Did you feel like it was good? Still, I mean, do you feel like every time you, because you've gone a couple times, would you say it's a good course? Still, a very informative.
Yeah, absolutely. And even going again, it was a good refresher. It's kind of fun, like when you're asking that question, and like Gary's answer, and I'm going, oh yeah, I guess we did look at that stuff, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me a particular question for the comp plan, I'm sure I'd be stumped. As we work through, you know, different items, I go, yeah, I've read this, I know this, right? But I couldn't cite you almost anything, I'm sure, out of it. So I'm curious also of how other commissioners feel about it.
Well, I'd echo that sentiment exactly. I'm familiar with the process from a higher level. Doing what we've done thus far has definitely given me more experience, but I wouldn't be able to cite any specifics, but as Rob was saying, when I hear things like, oh yes, I remember discussing that, I remember how I felt about that decision. I do understand the value of a comprehensive plan. I mean, if you're going to manage any sort of large-scale project whatsoever, you should have a good peace of mind going into it, and something that everybody agrees with, well, maybe not agrees with, but can access and inform themselves about. So I definitely see the value there. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to attend any of the briefings that you're speaking of. I hope to, but just haven't worked out schedule-wise yet. So, I think that answers.
We were kind of, Megan's come with some interest to help us revamp it as we go forward. One thing to keep in mind is the fact that even you guys, as involved as you are in this process and planning in the city, you still are basically feeling a little detached from the meat, nuts and bolts and the meat of the comp plan. And so as we kind of move to the next step in updating this, I think we're really trying to figure out a really nice way to make this comp plan more succinct and user-friendly, so not just the Planning Commission but the whole community can get more behind it.
Yeah.
So, Jenna, in the comp plan, is that where the mission statement or the vision for the city resides?
Mm-hmm.
And
it's not formally in the comp plan. It's in, we have a vision document, but I think one of the things that we'd like to do is bring it into the comp plan, so that's the very first thing that you see when you open it up.
Because one thing I'm thinking is looking at what development's on the books and where we might take the city, does that still fit with what the vision is?
Exactly.
And so I think that would guide us in how we're going to review the overall.
That's one of the first exercises we want to do, is bring that vision statement back before the Planning Commission and have you take a look at it. Is this still where we are? Is this still where we want to be going? And then carry that forward to Council. And that'll be a first step, because everything that we do from there on should reflect back to that vision.
Which is actually nice that you said that, because we met and we called Rob in for his input on kind of how, where to start. And that's where kind of we, I think, all felt too, is we first got to ask, are we still in line with our vision and our mission statement? And so.
Yeah, I think, go ahead, Scott.
I was just going to say, to add to that, it seems like recently this fall I've been involved with some different projects at work. But I get, well, first of all, in the comp plan, it's like, for some, I think because of my nature, my profession, that even our transportation plan stands out to me, but that's usually the first thing I go after when I'm starting a project in a new jurisdiction, is their comp plan, and it's the transportation plan. But I just wanted to mention that a couple of projects I've been involved with, it seems like there's been some disconnects in watching the process, where you have policies within the plans, and then you have development regulations, and seeing the public feel like they've been the policies are not being like held up to, because then the developers are being held to the regulations, and they're feeling that maybe they're not as in tune with those regulations, but they're feeling like, well, these regulations don't really align with our policies, because how can this development be approved, type thing. So I think that's something that's been brought to my life a lot more, and something that we might want to just kind of consider as we're bringing things up and coming up with those things. So.
Yeah, I think, Scott, that's very close to the comment that I was going to make, was that when we were chatting, I said, you know, one of my biggest questions was, a refresher on for us on you know, well, okay, this comp plan, and it's a very, you know, this is, it's a nice flowery description of what it is and all, but how does that really fit in with our standards, our development standards, and how, and everything up above it, the vision, and below it, you know, the actual tactical pieces, and so it's always a little bit nebulous to remember how the pieces tie together.
Yeah. And from what I've been kind of watching, when it comes down into the hearing in front of the examiner, it's the regulations that are going to trump the mm-hmm. you know, largely the policies. So.
But those regulations always need to fall back on the policies, because if right. there's a challenge to them, then the court is going to say, well, is this consistent with your comprehensive plan? And if it's not, then yeah. You're up for more.
And I guess that's the eye of the beholder, really. Because sometimes yeah. it's like one person's like, yeah, it is. The other's like, no way. And so that's where I guess making really clear policies that try and sway as many, I guess, opinions that might come out of it. So, I don't think you can ever do it, but it's something to keep in mind. So.
That's actually an interesting perspective, because your comp plan is basically your foundation. And then, and your policies usually are pretty general. And a policy related to, like, zoning for cottage housing might be simply, you know, the city has an interest in mix of housing types and you know, something about cottage housing. Very simple statement. But a cottage housing regulation could be 3 pages long. So it's definitely a, you know, your process as planning commissioners to start with that little one sentence policy that then turns into a whole chapter of regulation. Mm-hmm. Isn't it kind of an interesting mm-hmm. dynamic, and it's often.
Well, I think of what I've found, I think you guys, you've all been here long enough, is one of the things that we always end up in any particular discussion is keeping mindful of what level we're on. Because mm-hmm. sometimes we'll start digging too deep and wanting to put too much detail, and we get, you know, back off.
Mm-hmm. I think I remember hearing a comment, I don't remember if it was here or some other forum, but the more policies you have, the weaker they as a whole become. Mm-hmm. So just to keep it at the top level and say, these are really what's important. Just, you know, yeah. Think about going forward.
That's a good statement.
Where would I find these comp plan?
Where would I find them? Website.
I don't actually own one of those binders. If Jack wants to look at it, where's he going to get it?
We've got that on our website. It's a little bit... Our website is not laid out as clear and neat as it could be.
I would agree.
So you have to go through departments, community economic development, and then comprehensive plan. But yeah, for the Planning Commission and anybody from the public, please start taking a look through this. Not to get into the nuts and bolts of you know, this data point is not accurate anymore, but to give us those broad level comments about format, content, direction. So that when we come back to get into each of these elements, it'll be a little more familiar and live in the discussion.
It's actually a pretty logical path. I've sat on websites for quite a while, like trying to find that reason. And that's usually the first way I would go into it, is like planning or whatever that kind of
thing. The problem is we have also a document center.
Oh, it's not in there.
Yeah, and that's always what I felt is missing is, yeah. Well, if I go to documents, why can't I get to it?
Yeah. And then, of course, there's hard copies at each of the city's offices and the library.
I can't recall, but is there a search?
Yeah.
There's a search on
the website. Yeah, you can search.
In the library.
There should be a hard copy in the library.
Okay.
I think Susie does.
Okay. Megan just got a new assignment.
I think it should be that way. Yeah.
Okay. Well,
you should never label it.
I think that gave you your first question. That's good. Nice overview.
I think the next thing is we're just going to go back to the Growth Management Act to let you know a little bit of the nuts and bolts about what is it, how does it inform our comp plan, and tell us what it is that we need to do and what we need to update accordingly.
Yeah, why the heck are we doing this?
Yeah. So, I guess go back with me to the mid-1980s.
Some fancy fingers.
Jenna's listening.
I need big hair.
Rob's wearing parachute pants.
Thanks.
MC Hammer's in the background.
So, mid-80s, Puget Sound area was growing really rapidly, and that growth was going out into the suburbs, out into the farms, out into the forest lands. And people were really becoming concerned about that, that we were losing our character, and growth was just going rampant. The economy was booming. And so the legislature at the time said, we need to think about this. Other states are planning comprehensively so that they're coordinating that future growth to make sure that it happens in a way that protects the environment, that it's that development doesn't precede the infrastructure necessary to serve that development, so that you can foster economic development in a meaningful manner. And so they came up with the Growth Management Act, and they, one of the primary introductory statements from that legislation was that it was a response to uncoordinated and unplanned growth that poses a threat to the environment, economic development, and the health, safety, and quality of life enjoyed by residents of the state. And so what they did was, it wasn't a top-down approach that a lot of other states have done, that it was just all state mandates about you're going to plan this, but instead they took the bottom-up approach and said, local communities, you need to come up with comprehensive plans and identify your goals and your objectives and reflect your values. But here are a few key issues that we want your comprehensive plans to address. So there are 14 key goals. Most talked about focusing urban growth to urban areas, making sure that we weren't just growing willy-nilly, taking over farmland and forest land and other areas that were valuable for resource production. Reducing sprawl, making sure that we are providing efficient multimodal transportation, encouraging economic development, protecting property rights. That's one of the key components of growth management as well. Processing permits in a timely manner so that there was a little bit more predictability from the development community. Maintaining and enhancing natural resource-based industries, so again, protecting the forest lands and the farms so that they can remain a viable component of our economy. Retaining open space and habitat areas, protecting the environment. Encouraging citizen participation, so making sure that in all stages of government and as we plan, we're not just doing it from the council's perspective, but that it's coming from the community. And then ensuring concurrency, that's a really important component of GMA. So concurrency is that part that says that before development is approved, we need to make sure that we have the capacity to serve that development in terms of roads, water, sewer, other infrastructure, so that we're not just bottlenecking our existing systems. And then preserving important historic resources and managing our shorelines. So those are the 14 core goals of Growth Management Act. But in implementing those goals, the local government, the local city, county, whatever it might be, has a lot of latitude in terms of how they're going to get there. So it is still a bottom-up approach. We are required under the Growth Management Act to periodically update our comprehensive plans to make sure that they are still relevant. That it's not just a dry document sitting on the shelf, but that it's still reflecting our values and our purposes. And so every 8 years, Growth Management Act requires that we update that plan. So we're now at that point. We last updated in 2007, and our deadline's now June of 2015. Growth Management Act required a number of mandatory elements or chapters of the comprehensive plan. So we've got those in our comp plan, as well as some additional ones that we felt are important to North Bend, that we've addressed additional issues. So that includes your land use element, your distribution of different land uses for residences, for businesses, a housing element that talks about what is our inventory of housing, how are we addressing affordable housing, housing affordability, the environment element to make sure that we're planning for stormwater impacts, protecting wetlands, streams, other critical areas. The transportation element, which you guys are familiar with, that we dealt with last year. Parks and recreation element to provide for recreational opportunities in the city. Utilities element, and a capital facilities element that brings all those together and says what in the next 7 years?
The capital facility?
Yeah, what's the...
It's a six years.
Every 6 years, what are the projects that you need to be planning for to make sure that you're maintaining your levels of service to your residents? And then a shoreline element, and that's a component of the Shoreline Management Act as it integrates with the Growth Management Act.
Is that the same as the Shoreline Master Program?
Yeah, so the shoreline element of your comp plan is your shoreline policies, and then the regulations are the other components of the Shoreline Master Program. So it's why we need to do the update. That first, the requirement is that in order to remain eligible for grants provided by the state, those are really, really important grants. So the Public Works Trust Fund, a lot of different infrastructure grants, grants from commerce and ecology. We need to make sure that we're consistent with the Growth Management Act and be certified by Department of Commerce and Puget Sound Regional Council to maintain that grant eligibility.
Do we do virtually anything with public money that doesn't involve some grant outside of coming?
Not with regard to infrastructure. I think we go after grants for just about everything. Right?
Our overlay program. I mean, we spend money that isn't related to grants, but...
But for big projects.
But most anything that we're trying to accomplish, we are counting on support from outside to go with our local funding.
So one of the other big things that we need to do in this, other than making sure that we're consistent with Growth Management Act and relevant updates to that, is we have to show that we have sufficient capacity in our zoning to meet our growth targets. So we are in King County, and therefore under the Growth Management Act, King County and a number of other counties within the state are considered fully planning areas, and so we have a little bit of a higher standard than other areas of the state. And one of those requirements is that we plan under the Buildable Lands Program, which assigns residential and employment growth targets. So based on State Office of Financial Management, we have to project out 20 years of our population growth and show that we're meeting that growth for our anticipated population projection with enough zoned land to accommodate that based on densities that will support that population.
When's the last time that was updated?
7 years ago. So 8 years ago. So we'll have to do that analysis. Take a look at our zoning again. Subtract out the growth that's happened since that last time. And subtract out what development has occurred and make sure that we still are meeting our targets.
So those calculations on what are going on are driven here locally. But as far as what the projections that we need to be absorbing, where do those come from? When you're saying we've got residential expectations put on us and employment expectations, when's the last time those were updated and who's delivering that message?
That's from the Buildable Lands. Oh, I don't remember the name of the organization or the task force.
We got new projections or new targets last year?
Yeah, so there's two components of it. Office of Financial Management gives us our projected population growth. So that we have to just show that we have capacity to meet that overall number. But then there's also a growth target that says, City of North Bend, you're expected to accommodate at least 3,000 new residents. And that's what comes from the Buildable Lands Program.
And that number, Rob, comes from... I think it was 2 years ago, it might be 4 or 5. But basically, the city's come together and it's almost done in such a way that little horse trading, where Seattle, you know, like the last time it came around, Seattle took a lot more than they were originally slotted to. And then it basically, a chart gets filled out of everybody's kind of intended growth based on their land area.
Yeah, sounds like some gerrymandering. I guess where my question's going is where are we in that cycle, and are we going to catch or miss the cycle? You know, we go through all of this effort, and I'm trying to understand where UGA and planning for that comes into this, and if we get all the way through this process, and then in 2015 they hand us projections.
From what I recall, we are probably fine in terms of meeting our targets. I think the targets for RE aren't nearly as high as what it is for the WCLs as Clause.
Based on our zoning, we're definitely fine. The new targets, though, buildable lands is running at the same time this year as the comp plan updates. So that's something we do have to check on, though, is exactly when the most recent targets were issued as part of our review of the planning chapter.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just one of the final reasons that we need to do this is there's a lot of outdated information in here. So we want to make sure that we're current with our inventories. And all the data that's in here that we are basing our planning off of needs to be updated. So what needs to be addressed? Land use element is the primary thing. We've got a lot of outdated maps in there. We need to address those growth targets again. Any land use or zoning amendments that we want to plan for, now's the time to do that. And then again, making sure that we're consistent with the Growth Management Act and countywide planning policies. Housing, probably a pretty moderate update. We'll want to come back to do a policy review. Environment element, we don't anticipate any major updates. We'll just review the checklist. So there's a checklist that's provided by Department of Commerce and a checklist provided by Puget Sound Regional Council to identify what you need to do or what amendments have occurred to your growth management legislation over the last 8 years. And you run through that and say, yes, our comp plan has addressed that. No, we haven't. We need to address that. So right now, we are going to work on that over the next month and a half. And that will inform much more of the agenda. So as each element comes, we'll come back to that and say, Planning Commission, these are the things that we need to address in the land use element, and so forth. Capital facilities element, that will be a major update. We'll need to update our capital facilities plans for a number of facilities, so wastewater, streets, parks, etc. And then we'll also need to update the financial information on that, showing our plan to fund those facilities within the 7-year time frame, or 6-year. Shorelines, we don't anticipate any need for updates. We did that a year ago. And then the same thing for transportation. Some basic guiding principles in this overall. Again, we want to make sure that we're reflecting that vision. That's our first exercise, is what is our vision? And then as we move forward, keep coming back to that. Is what we're doing consistent with that vision? Then also being simple. We want to be to the point with our updates. This thing is pretty thick right now, and we'd like to get that a little bit thinner, just so that it's key, or it's concise, it's usable. If something becomes too wordy, you don't want to have to flip through it. The purpose of this is to serve as a basis or a backbone for our regulations. It's not to have an enjoyable read.
Right now, it's not very enjoyable at all. So hopefully, my job will be to change that and to make it something that an everyday citizen can go out there and open it and actually not shut it and walk away. They'll actually want to read it. And we'll put visuals in there, and we're going to pop some things out and put some color into it and make it not so scary.
Some of the Harry Potter books were extremely thick, but I understand that they were very enjoyable readings.
Yeah.
I'm not personally tied to we have to slim it down, but I do get that it'd be nicer if it was a more friendly reading.
Yes.
It's interesting. I do find when we're working with developers that if it's smaller, we keep their interest a little longer on some of the reasons behind why we're asking them to consider this or what have you. So that's one thing versus when we really get, it's kind of even same with, anything. You just kind of get lost in the details if it's too
difficult. I'm just recalling back to when we were working on the energy and sustainability element. I think one of the comments you had, Jenna echoed, was let's pare this down to what's essential, and I think the end product was stronger because of that. So I think there's a lot of opportunity throughout the land use element and some of the other elements.
Is the city, and I don't know, maybe it is to a degree already, but I always struggle when I'm looking for something and designing it in a wiki style for the website, so there's
We were just talking about that today.
Do search,
I think.
Search on
YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Megan's going to be our guru on kind of looking at different styles that we can implement and kind of update this. In a way, this is a document that looks and feels 20 years old. It would be nice now to take it to, you know, a different level. And
I think especially when we get into things like our capital facilities plans, it would be really nice to have just a map on the website that shows the locations, and then you point to it, and it brings up the project, you know, summary, here's what it is, here's the date, rather than just kind of this list that you're scrolling through in a PDF.
Scott would write that.
Yeah, we all love it, Scott.
Well, Mike, I am glad that the transportation is down further in our schedule, because I think we talk about land use and housing, that might trigger some changes to the existing
transportation. Yeah, the key thing is we need to get those targets established and know our population projections, because that then informs a lot of those other updates.
We did actually just 2 months ago or a month and a half ago receive notice that our comp plan is fully certified right now, which you know we were lagging behind a little bit because our transportation actually took, I think it took us 2 years. But it was a big section. So congrats, all of you. We are certified. That's good news. I was worried.
So any broad questions on that, or we can go dive into the actual agenda for the year?
So this schedule so far is more about the comp plan updates. Sprinkled among those will have other exciting...
Yeah, and the big premise that we're putting to this is that this is subject to change. So there's going to be a lot of other things that come in that we don't know about at this point. So we put a number of different to-be-determined agenda things without anything particular for that date. Those will fill in quickly, I imagine.
And this comp plan update is due by what date?
By June 30th, 2015.
Now, that being said, we're going to keep you guys posted if that date shifts a bit. The date with the shoreline mandated update shifted by almost, was it a year? So, mainly, I'm kind of feeling like most cities are going to need more time, but we'll keep you posted. That's the deadline as of right now, though. And that's pretty soon when you really look at...
Uh-huh. And that's not just comp plan, but that's associated development regulations that include that. So
and public hearings.
There's amendments that we need to make to our grid area regulations or whatnot. That's all supposed to happen before June 30th.
A lot of these are like intro here. So do you really think it's going to go through
that fast? That's what's actually, that's something we should talk about, because, you know, we've done this before, and we know that what we ended up with 4 meetings when we thought maybe it could be 2 or 5. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, you want to set some goals so we keep moving, but we also got to be realistic. And, I mean, right away we have to deal with regulating the marijuana, and we really aren't sure if that's going to be 1 or 2 meetings or 6 meetings, you know, because it's hard to tell. So as we kind of look at our schedule, and this is bare bones because we have...
I just say I think it's aggressive, but it's worth a try.
It's a good word. Yeah, if I wasn't sitting here as one of the people that's got to live through it to get us there and read through it, I'd probably be more aggressive in it. But, you know, when we look at those kind of things and they say, oh, yeah, well, we're required to have this done by June, but, you know, cities are going to complain and they'll back off. I go, well, let's see. How long ago did we know this was coming? 8 years ago. I think we could have planned. So, yeah, it's aggressive, but... I think maybe we can go for the brass ring of being the only or first city to be up to date. Maybe the state looks favorably on us for something.
We have actually a pretty nice head start having our shoreline and our transportation elements out of the way. Those are big ones.
Yeah.
Transportation elements out right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're noticing like proposals and things like a lot of cities are just getting
going. That was a huge one. If we had to do that with this cycle, I mean, land use is going to be the main one, and capital facilities is, you know, going to be heavily driven by public works. So, and you know, so we as planners can't really estimate that time for them. So yeah, we'll see. Where do you guys feel, you know, just a part of what I was thinking is, well, what should we focus on for the next 3 months in so we have a real reality on our schedule here? And since the first two meetings are related to marijuana and then bringing back the street standards to you.
Mm-hmm. And what about the commercial rezoning over by Bartels? Is that coming back to us?
Commercial rezoning over by Bartels.
Or you mean the pillbox, the CenturyTel?
No, right across from there, it was the Parks Department was supposed to figure out what was happening.
Oh, that was a surplus.
Oh, yeah.
That's not really on our... On this, but where we can address it is in the land use chapter, because right now it's identified as parks and open.
So what that's waiting on also is Parks Commission was going to take a look at that after the intersection design had been finished, and you know, we're just waiting for Public Works on completing that intersection design, and that'll inform more about if, you know, is there anything left worth using after that's completed.
So we just don't know when that will happen, so it's not.
Well, I was just going to answer your question. I mean, and maybe this is just an ignorant perspective, but given what you guys know about each of the sections and where you feel the most work is going to need to be taking place, I mean, it would make sense that if we move those heavier topics up front, I mean, clearly we have some timestamp stuff like the marijuana issue and so forth that probably should take top center priority, but any of the other thicker sections that you guys have already reviewed and maybe have the head start that you're talking about that we should bang out sooner than later. I mean, if that's the way this is already organized, that seems a logical plan.
The land use element is the big one, and we need some time to run through those checklists before we can bring anything really to you guys.
Okay.
So we need to know what it is that we need to update.
Sure.
So that's why that doesn't happen until down in May.
Mm-hmm. It kind of starts on March 27th, because your vision statement, land use, and housing intro. So, and that is actually right around the corner. Once you get past, I mean, when you look at marijuana streets and the overlay out at Trucktown, which was kind of the request of the, it was dealing with the truck, additional truck parking or not question. And that, those are all topics in 4 meetings.
Which is the East North Benway? Is that what?
That's the East North Benway overlay, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's pretty aggressive in 4 meetings. But, so our first opportunity is the 27th. So I think, Brendan, we do have that land use chapter right up front.
So, I mean, that would just be my immediate reaction, is that if that's the way you've already scheduled, it makes sense to me.
Perfect.
And I guess, yeah, and the other thing that, of course, is hard to, you know, pick through the individual line items, as you're saying. I hadn't looked at the March 27th line, and so, yes, you're introducing, your target's to introduce land use and housing, and so where I was going was down to June 12th. I'm going, wow, we're waiting until halfway through the year to start land. Actually, what you're saying to us is we'll be talking about land all the way through those months. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have it specifically on May 8th, May 22nd, June 12th. Mm-hmm. And housing and land are different elements, but they kind of play together. So,
mm-hmm. In the February, I'm not understanding why is the capital facilities for the parks piece coming back? Isn't that what
that's an update to our 2013 amendments? And the reason for that is we've had amendments to our parks element that came through the Planning Commission, updating our parks capital facilities plan. But there's an inconsistency in that. There's also a parks capital facilities plan in our capital facilities element, and that is older. So what we want to do is, instead of having these two dueling parks capital facilities plans, we want to just get rid of the one that's in the capital facilities element and make a reference there to say, see the parks element. And that way it clears it up, makes it simpler for going forward.
All right, so this is a pretty straightforward housekeeping. Yeah, all right. So it's like, we just voted that.
All right. And the reason we're doing it that way is because then on April 15th, the council's going to adopt the 2013 comp plan, because it's right now we can't adopt that until April because we can't do it more than once a year, and we did the transportation. So that happening in April, and Mike wants to have this ready for that date.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So we've got marijuana as the zoning as something not part of this. What else are you anticipating or aware of?
We hope to address the SEPA update. So the state has amended the SEPA regulations this year to allow jurisdictions to increase the thresholds under which SEPA is required, so that it's required for less projects. We're interested to do that. Simplifies review. SEPA is not particularly effective at addressing environmental issues because critical area regulations through Growth Management Act are just much beefier than when SEPA was developed. So we'd like to increase those thresholds and simplify the development process. So we're stuck that down in August. The state hasn't finished those SEPA updates yet, but we anticipate sometime before August that'll happen. Other things, we've got an amendment to the zoning out in the the East North Bend Master Plan Overlay District. And you were just talking about that one. Yeah.
Streets.
That might be it for now, but there will be other things that come that we're not thinking about at the time this time.
The other thing that we don't have reflected here is any applicant-driven one. Mm-hmm. So if somebody chooses to, and we have had that actually come up now twice, three times, or four in the last 2 or 3 years. Like the hotel was one. And
right.
But if we're looking at the comp plan as a whole for land use, we wouldn't necessarily want to do an overlay. We would want to consider that as part of the land use at that time, or would we do overlays? And
that's kind of an interesting overlays are intended to allow cities to zone in a more like dialed in manner to a certain area within a greater zone. So that's where we've implemented overlays.
But as I've mentioned, couldn't we through this process clean up a lot of these overlays? I mean, we must have at least a half a dozen.
Well, by cleaning them up, you mean by creating a zone for them?
Just incorporating them in instead of as special overlays.
They are incorporated in, and you have, like, there's a section of our code that actually calls special overlays. And so the answer is yes, we can simplify and just zone them. Or we can use them as ways to dial in on specific areas within zones. I like that approach because there's no way you can zone, you know, the EP1 zone that's stretched across North Bend Way is going to apply differently to the Dahlgren site than it will across the way where there's no river and park next to it. So that's why I like overlays, but I understand why they're also... And
I guess I only mean it in the sense that it seems like over the last few years we've created one after another that are all about a special piece of property that somebody wants to do something special, and so we go, oh, okay, let's throw another overlay on it.
Yeah,
it seems like there'd be a broader approach.
Simplify. Our limitation is we've got a lot to deal with and not a lot of time, so we'll just have to kind of prioritize. These are the things that we have to do, and then look at that, what we'd like to do.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the question I would have first is what overlays feel like they're just specific. Because I actually think right now, all of them, like even the one on Park where we allow the
ground floor commercial in the HDR zone along that major Park Street area. I think that works for Park. And so I think, I guess what I would ask is, which ones do you feel are treading on that turf?
I'd say Park's a good example. You staff had proposed that we go ahead and change the zoning along the Park Street, and we said no, we'd rather take it up this coming year.
Well, we took it up last year as a docket,
right?
To just change it to downtown commercial, but right. There was a lot of public comment not in support of that, so that would fail.
Well, what I recall about that one was it was more driven here by us saying, well, let's look at it when we're looking at comprehensive zoning and determine whether or not the whole thing should flip, whether part of it should flip, and basically absorb what's now an overlay, by changing the zone. Right? That's what I recall, and that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. So there's been several of those sort of things. So CenturyTel came with a docket, and that failed. But it, part of the thinking there was, well, we're looking at one little piece of property within the overall commercial. If we're looking at all of the zoning, why don't we look at all of the zoning?
Yeah, no, you're right on that. I mean, one thing, because forgetting what you just reminded me of, the part that I felt good about when we ended up keeping the overlay for Park was the fact we also kept our high-density residential stock.
Right.
And so that was, in the end, important, because if you go just to downtown commercial, you potentially could have an office building. You lose that additional.
Right.
So I think the answer is yes. The land use chapter will allow us to have this discussion for every single overlay and decide what's the right approach.
About council. I know this council's got a retreat later this month. Are you anticipating direction or requests coming out of either the retreat or council committee or anything that would drive some of what we're looking at?
Mm-hmm. I think the timing of you guys having this and kind of saying yay or nay to the schedule. I mean, I still have the same concern you have. I think we're a little aggressive here, and I hate to overcommit, and I feel like we're a little bit overcommitting. And when you overcommit and you don't meet your schedule, it's not great. But what I was going to do is provide this to the council and basically say, because this also drives their schedule to be able to get this approved by that time frame, so they have to basically understand that anytime you guys are dealing with the topic, what would be helpful for probably them is if you guys make a recommendation to approve the land use chapter, for example, or recommend approval of the land use chapter, we'll take that chapter to them while you're still working on the other chapters. So in the end, this is their schedule too. And so that's important for them to realize as they prioritize their wish list too. So, and then the next meeting what I could do is bring back to you. I can't remember, you guys meet on the 23rd, and I think the retreat is the 24th. So the first meeting in February, I can bring back kind of a summary of what they kind of
interest. That's exactly where I was going, because that's what I had noticed. The retreat is the day after, so we're taking up marijuana zoning, and they're talking about marijuana zoning right at the retreat.
Actually, that might not be the case, because I saw that on their list of items, and so I basically am going to provide them the schedule of what we're doing here, and I don't think there's any reason to talk about that at the retreat other than to give them your schedule.
I'm assuming it's probably going to be one of the more fun issues that we have all year, so getting their input and thoughts is somewhere in the process would be awfully nice.
Okay, yeah, because we've been brainstorming this process.
Because we're actually quite a ways down the road of being able to bring something forth to you guys.
Great.
So the question we're wrestling with is, we're going to bring you up to speed of what kind of the state regs are requiring, and then give you kind of the gist of where you can, you know, that's the minimum. You can be more restrictive, just can't be less restrictive than the state. And so,
King County decided on a policy for that, do you know?
On what?
On marijuana zones.
Oh, the actual King County. Do you know?
I don't think.
Have you looked at King County's?
No.
I haven't seen anything impressive.
Seattle's been pretty...
Seattle did in terms of...
Mm-hmm.
Was it Kent? Is Kent the one that's in the...
Supposedly,
the hot seat?
Kent's supposedly banning it, which...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seattle's pretty much letting it happen pretty openly.
They're restricting it within some certain neighborhoods, but you can go on their website and find... they don't have a map, but they have a chart. You can see how they... straightforward.
Yeah. But we've taken the kind of the state required buffers and implemented that, and so we'll be able to show you where it can be allowed in North Bend and then go from there. So it's really, we're such a small town, it actually won't, once you put in all the buffers, there's not a lot of extra space. I mean, there is, but not much.
Right, yeah.
It's like the corner of Sure Shot, right?
Exactly.
maybe that blank space between the Sure Shot and the next will finally get built.
We're going to license wheelie carts down there for the plaza.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So that might be a twist on that.
That's what we don't know, actually. It could be... We have no idea where and we don't know how many people come and testify.
Yeah.
So in our schedule, I don't know how many of us, but somewhere around May, there's a few of us that need to be renewed.
Renewed? Appointments you're talking about? Reappointed?
Yes, we usually get that from Susie. She gives us the heads up. Are you May?
I believe so.
Okay.
What's May.
May.
Piper's May.
You're May.
Yeah, there's three of us, I think.
Okay.
Well, don't all the terms are on the same month, are they not? I believe.
Yeah. There's
who's what year? I don't know.
That's
yeah.
And are you interested in reading?
I know I'm not this year. I mean, in a sense, that's between you and the mayor. Right?
Well, that's exactly why I'm not sure.
But yeah.
Well, what I guess if you know your, I'll send a list of when you guys are when the appointments are up, and then if you are up in May. Just respond by saying yes. I'd like to still continue, and then I'll pass that on to the powers that be. And your reappointment would be in probably that May council meeting, and Susie would be the one that would do that. So, thanks for reminding us on that. Wouldn't want to lose you.
I can get out before
you were not leaving this year, buddy. Nice. That's also concurrent then when we after appointments is when we pick chair. I always am confused. I always ask it in January and somewhere during the year at what time we've
for sure.
That's correct, because I remember Scott, you took it over from Scott. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
That law firm.
No.
I need to go from Scott.
I actually became chair when Gina left.
Really?
That was a long time ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you been chair now?
Really? He was chair when I came on the break right in the beginning, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Kind of Scott was the chair?
Years, I remember.
Yeah.
Or was he acting chair because I wasn't here?
Maybe.
So have you been the chair for like 5 years?
I wonder why I'm asking.
Yeah.
I'm fine with renominating you.
Yeah.
I didn't really ask.
We'll
wait until May.
So I'm wondering if we finish the housing element, that we have one meeting open at that point just to take care of any other agenda items before starting the utilities. If that would be a little bit of a one meeting buffer to catch up on the business or schedule business for that?
It's flip-flop 24th and the 14th. Because right now we have the 14th of August kind of open.
And then the 28th of August, we typically take one meeting off in August.
I don't know. You know, as I sit here and I really think about the reality.
We can start spreading this out a little bit more and maybe give another meeting to the land use element, to the housing element.
And push it back. I mean, because in the end, Mike, we could go into March of next year. Mm-hmm. So
I'll tell you, my preference would be to stay aggressive.
Oh, really?
Set the bar.
Better to push a couple of
things later. And set the expectation and then be ready to say, well, as you said, well, what we can anticipate in here is a big, you know, public directed and that is going to take us two meetings or three meetings. You know, we couldn't anticipate that. Therefore, we're going to need to work the schedule back. But because that's why I'm poking at, well, what else do you know? And based on what else you know, why shouldn't we? Let's be aggressive. Let's go for it. And we'll know in 4 months whether we think we're going to get there. And then we can start adjusting it as need be. But, I mean, when I look at it, I'm seeing a fairly regular recurrence of reserve to be determined. You know, there's some flexibility in there. I don't want to see us get backloaded and feel like, oh my gosh, we can't drop the November meeting, December meeting, or you know, we need to add a meeting or something. You know, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, it's aggressive for us too. We've got a busy year with plats and other things.
But,
but
Megan's here. Well, and we understand. I mean, we've got the easy part. You're going to send us stuff. We're going to read it. We're going to kibitz about it and make some recommendations. But we know that there's an awful lot of preparation that you guys have to do ahead of that. And so, I mean, I think we all get that. And I'm sure you took that into consideration as you had your headaches trying to put it together.
Is that your nice way of telling Megan that we ask a lot of questions, so be prepared? Kinda.
We do have a nice $18,000 grant from the state to help us through this process. So as we look at where we want to spend that, it's either going to reimburse the city for staff time to do it, or we could even... if there's a section in here we think might be like economic development, do we think we want to have some consulting assistance in that area or something? You know, that's something to think about too. Did you already have an idea where you wanted? Did you have some ideas on that? Okay.
Don't say it out loud.
He had a look like he was like, no, I really want to spend it here.
I have all that money spent.
No, I was just thinking about the grant. The grant, we already said we're doing it in-house, but there's no reason that we couldn't, as a city, separately hire a consultant and $18,000
commerce. You guys figure out how to create money. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else on this topic? Or we talked out? Did you guys get across what you wanted?
Yeah, so we're going to take this. This will be a schedule we share with council. So we'll let them know that you're starting the review of the marijuana regulations on the 23rd. Okay.
If you believe we
can. So, and Megan is our planner. Staffing that issue, so we go right into the hot seat.
Wow.
The youngest one coming out of college, we figured.
Yeah. Experience, is that what you're going for? Come on, that's just so unfair. On that is you changed midstream last year in how you guys were handling topics through. To handing them off between Planning Commission and Council to where the same person was going to
all
see
that,
it all.
Yeah.
Is that going to stay the same? That we're going to, so that we've got that consistency? Is that?
That was just because of vacations and ultimately wasn't the ideal.
Yeah. Okay.
We always try to stick with the planner to see it through.
All right. So when we want to know about pot, we're going to Megan.
She'd be your girl.
Okay. All right, before we adjourn, things not about this work plan.
May I try?
Sure.
It sounds like a lot of fun, and currently I've been asked quite a few times about, well, have you reviewed the comp plan? And it's been somewhat unreviewable, just to open it up, but it sounds like what a lot of it wanted to do was like poke holes in the comp plan to try to hold it up previously. There's so many holes in it that people try to dig beneath it to validate it. And it's actually, from what I just learned, which is a great educational like conference class, probably good to share the part where you went over and said what it's about, what it is. It being the foundation, you don't actually dig beneath it. If the policies just go on it, like the backbone, it could be actually pretty fun to review it and actually talk politics if you have the correct comp plan where you can just say, here. You know, let's have some fun, sit down for...
We'll revisit that in a couple of months, Drew.
Rock it.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
We're done.
Thank you, and welcome, Megan.
See, Megan, it's a piece of cake.